Amen. Okay, open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, and we're going to do communion. Or Luke chapter 10, I'm sorry. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And I know some of you are going to wonder, what on earth does this have to do with communion? Absolutely everything. Mark chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she should help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. One woman seen Jesus as somebody that needed to be ministered to, somebody that needed to be served, somebody that needed to, you know, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to earn this, we got to be this, we got to do this. And Jesus said, you need to just stop. The other woman seen the fullness of God and sat at his feet and received from him. She humbled herself to let God be God in her life. The first step in learning how to walk by faith is learning how to sit by faith. You're not going to walk by faith till you first learn how to sit by faith. And in order to learn how to sit by faith, you're going to have to learn how to first receive from God. Paul told us that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. In order for us to discern the body of Christ, we're going to have to actually take a look at the type and shadow of Christ and what this bread actually means and what it actually does. This bread is made without yeast. Jesus' body was without sin and is without sin. Yeast is significant in sin in the Bible. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, the sinless, perfect sacrifice. And then you look at this bread. It's called matzah bread, by the way. And God gave us specific directions how to take it. The traditions of men have ended up with a lot of the church eating these little rice wafers, and you can't discern the body of Christ with those. You can't see what he did in this. But if you look at this bread, it's been beaten and pounded flat, and Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. There's sometimes people that have deep wounds inside of them. You can get healing for those that only Jesus can provide when you discern the body of Christ. You can ask him to come deep inside of you and heal those hurts. There's still scars, but he heals those hurts so they don't torment you anymore. And if you look at this bread, you'll notice that there's stripes in it. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. In fact, our healing was paid for before our sins were paid for. See, we think it's easier for God to save us from our sins than it is to heal us. God says it was harder for him to save us from our sins than it is to heal us. Because it took the stripes on Jesus' back to heal us, but it took the death of his son to save us. Now, if you look at this bread, it's been pierced. And Jesus' body was pierced. And everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And every time he shed blood, we get redemption in some area. Now, this has a lot of Protestant people crazy when I tell them this, but if you get a chance to go to a Catholic church, go there and find the stations of the cross and look at all these different places that Jesus shed his blood. And there's two prayers on there. Pray the first one, not the one that prays to Mary, but the other one, and receive the blessing of that shed blood of Jesus. His blood was freely shed for us. It's not cheap, but it's free. And if you look at this bread, you'll notice that it's slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. That means every sin that we deserve to die for was laid on him when he was on that cross. The sins of the whole world, past, present, and future, were laid on Jesus on that cross. And God actually turned his face away from him. And Jesus said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That's the first time that Jesus ever addressed him as God. He had always addressed him as Father until that day. Now, because Jesus was rejected, we're accepted. Because God turned his eyes from Jesus, he'll never turn his eyes from you. You've been washed in the blood. So, Father, we're taking this broken body of our Lord and Savior, and we're receiving our healing from you. Can I have a couple people help me with these elements? Oh, I need one. So take a minute and just think about this sacrifice that Jesus is. And here's, this will be a revelation word for somebody. Some people are worried about how God sees you. You need to not worry about that. Because in the Old Testament, when they took, the Old Testament is full of types and shadows. When they took the sacrifice to the high priest and he sacrificed it and put it on the altar, God looked at the sacrifice, and if the sacrifice was acceptable, then the person was acceptable. Notice he didn't look at the person, he looked at the sacrifice. When he looks at you, he looks at you through a veil of the blood of Jesus. He sees the sacrifice of his perfect son, and he calls you perfect. And he calls you perfectly healed, and that is his will. So, Father, we thank you for that broken body. We thank you for everything that it does for us, from receiving our healing and our well-being in the name of Jesus. I don't know if you ever noticed, but that matzo bread tastes so much better than those white wafers that stick to your teeth and you spend half the service trying to get it out of there. That shed blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that has ever been released on this earth. It's more powerful than any atomic bomb that's ever been made. It changed absolutely everything. When the blood of Jesus gets applied to your life, it did the impossible. Man had been in a quest to get in the presence of God ever since Adam got kicked out of the garden, and they failed miserably every time. They were always tried to find a way into the presence of God, and they couldn't. God found a way to get into our presence. He made a bridge from heaven to earth, and it took him 3 nails, 2 boards, and 1 lamb. That shed blood of Jesus, when it's applied to our life, not only washes away our sins, but it makes us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and it gives us boldness to enter into the throne room of God and receive mercy and grace in times of need. So, Father, we thank you for this, and we receive of your blood. We honor it, and we worship your blood in Jesus' name. Well, all right. We have a guest speaker today, and her name is Pat Crampton, and she's from Kansas. And I got to tell a little story on her. Because I talked about her in services before. But we actually went to Bible school together. See, this church has partnered with Rodeo Cowboy Ministries for years and years and years and years, and she's one of the fruit of that ministry. And one day we went to a meeting, and we were going to preach, and I noticed she was being real quiet and sheepish and just kind of down, and I thought, that's just kind of odd for her. So I went over and asked her, I said, what's wrong with you? And she said, well, I talked to you and Matt and some of these other guys, and you guys got all these booming testimonies. And I just don't have a testimony. And I said, are you kidding me? I said, you didn't skip school. You didn't go out drinking with your friends. You didn't get in trouble. You waited until you were married to have sex. You grew up, you went to church, you did what you had to do. You did the things that you were supposed to do. You didn't do the things you weren't supposed to do. And then you ended up with a great husband, 3 kids, a paid for wheat farm, and a big herd of registered cattle. That's the best testimony I heard. While the rest of us had lived most of our lives as a warning, she lived hers as an example. And then it propelled her in her relationship with God as she grew forward. And now she's got a sensitivity to Holy Spirit that's unlike anything I've experienced. So I'm going to let her preach the word today, and I want you to receive it in Jesus' name. And give me your ear.
Now? You know, I just graduated from Christ for All Nations Bible School. And you know, one thing they said, you've got such a quiet voice. You're going to have to be really loud in Africa when there are all these people and it's a long ways away. And I thought, oh dear, Jesus, help me. And you know, probably one of the most exciting things for me was one of the first days we preached. We parked by the side of this road and there was thousands of people, but we didn't see them. It's like nobody was there, you know what I mean? It was like people were in the village and the traffic was loud and you really thought nobody was there. And they said, oh, there'll be thousands of people, but you didn't see anybody. And so I was preaching away, and that day I was doing the healing service. I was preaching on healing, and pretty soon I called for those that had been healed to come forward. And there was this lady way, way back on the hill, way up there. And I knew that was a Muslim area because they told us, you know, be careful. Don't probably go by yourself in that area. It's dangerous. And from this Muslim area, this lady comes running down the hill. And she was running and yelling as she ran down the hill. And, you know, I was watching her, but there was a bunch of people in front of me that God had healed, that they were, the people were lining up for testimonies. And this lady comes running down the hill. And she didn't stop. When she got to me, I was up on a truck stage. She comes running up on the stage and she said, you're not going to believe this. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. She said, I'm a Muslim. And I was up there on that hill. And she said, I heard you preach. And she said, I haven't been able to walk hardly at all because I pass out. And she said, I haven't run for years. And she said, I was up there on the hill and I heard you and I got this heat in my chest. And all of a sudden she said, I realized I was healed. I could walk. And then she said, as I started walking, I could run. She said, Jesus is real. I'm a Muslim. I don't believe Jesus is real, but Jesus is real. And she was so excited. She got up there on the stage and she was jumping up and down and she was screaming and she was telling everybody, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. So that's the first miracle I saw in Ghana. But the second miracle was she was way up there, like almost a half mile away, and she heard me. And I was like, thank you, Lord, you know, that when we think we can't do it, he can do it, you know. She talked about us going to school when I was a mother. I had four kids. Two of them were in college. One was going to be in junior college. One was an eighth grader. And the Lord asked me to come to this ministry school. Well, I grew up in a little Mennonite community, sheltered, you know, really a strong Christian family. And I was like, well, man, I don't think I can do this, you know. And the Lord kept saying, I want you to go. And I kept saying, I don't think I can do that, Lord. You know, I talked to my husband and, you know, God said, you know, I'll make a way and your family will be in the palm of my hand. I'll take care of everything. And I'm like, well, I know God's calling me and I don't want to say no. So I said, okay, Lord, I guess I'll do this. So I sent my application in and sent my money in, and my husband and my kids, we sat down and talked, and God had already moved in my heart, and I knew I was called to evangelism, even though I was scared to talk to the cows hardly, you know. I wanted to stay in the back always. So I was getting ready to go, and the day before I was supposed to leave, I was going to sell all my calves and, you know, load them on the semi that morning and leave the next day so that my husband didn't have all the cattle to take care of. So we got ready to load, and we had the steers half on the semi, and a big hail wind ice storm kind of came in. So it was like hail and ice, but it was winter. It was January. And so everything was icy. The roads were icy. We had the semi almost loaded, and we had to unload the semi because there was no way to go. And we couldn't, the roads were closed. And so I was like, Lord, there's no way. I was supposed to leave. I can't go. And I just said, you know, and on top of it, my husband has no help. Now we had this big storm. What's he going to do? You know, I went to Tractor Supply to get some stuff later in the day. I had a calf that needed nursed and ran into a boy in the store. And he said, I said, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm looking for a job. He said, I just lost the one I had, and I need a job. And I just, you know, I looked at him. I said, you want to come to work for us tomorrow? And he said, yeah, I'd love that. So the next day, we got the cattle, and we just took them, you know, like we usually take them the day before the sale. But the roads had cleared off, and we took the cattle to the sale, and this boy came and helped us. You know, and God did. He provided for everything. You know, it looked like there was no possible way, but God took care of it. And I went to school, and it was such a, everything was so different for me. Because, you know, I'd been at home, I'd been a mother, I'd, you know, been at church. But one thing I'd never done is gone to a lot of different kind of churches. And so that really was an awakening for me. Because I went from this church to that church, and I realized how people, you know, had so many different ways to worship. And it was such a good training ground for me. And I'm so thankful that I listened to the Holy Spirit and went. And you know what? God took care of my family. And I always thought that my daughter that stayed home from college her first year to take care of the one that was in eighth grade, I thought she would resent it. She doesn't. She's like, Mom, that's my gift to God. That was my gift to God, you know. And she's raising kids. Two of my grandsons are actually being baptized today. They just decided. And their mom said, I know you're going to be gone. I know you're going to miss it. But you know what? She said, they want to do it. So today they're going to be baptized. So I'm so happy. I have 9 grandkids. And the first 5 have already accepted the Lord and been baptized. And that's the heritage. You know, the Bible talks about the heritage of the righteous, and we're so blessed, and we get to live with that heritage and grow up that way. And like Skeet said, I didn't understand that at first, and the Lord reprimanded me, and he said, no, you need to share your testimony, because everybody should get to experience that. And even though they didn't grow up that way, they can experience it in the next generation. And so I apologized. I said, yes, Lord, I believe that. So you know what? The sermon I'm preaching today is not what I expected, and I dreamed it, and the Lord said, yep, do this. So, you know, when I was in junior high, that we had a boy that came and worked for us, and I think I was like 13. He was probably 18. He was a senior. Nice looking kid and really nice. And I remember one day we were building fence together, and we were building fence, and I was telling him about Jesus. I talked about Jesus all the time. You know, I was the weird one. I didn't care. I just talked about Jesus. And so anyway, I was talking about him about Jesus, and we were building fence, and he's pretty wild. You know, my dad kind of warned me, you know, stay away from him. He's going to work for us, but, you know. And so that day we were talking, and, you know, I just remember really telling him, you know, you need to know where you're going when you leave this earth. And, you know, I think he was kind of laughing at me in a way, but, yep. But he really liked me and hugged me when he left that day. Well, that night, he had a motorcycle, and he drove too fast. And he went around a curve almost to his house, and he was drunk, and he wrecked, and he died that night. You know, it really always got to me, because I was like, did I say enough? Did I do enough? What happened to him? You know, is he in heaven today? And it was always really hard for me to think of him. And, you know, I always wanted to share the gospel, but I didn't know how. And the Lord sent me to a training to learn to share the gospel. And it was so good for me, because all of a sudden, instead of being, I want to share the gospel, it's like I could share the gospel. And so, you know, you do it in so many different ways. You know, one thing that Glenn taught us when we were at school, he said, you know, in every group you go to, there's saved, there's backslidden, there's unsure, and there's unsaved. And I thought, how can that be possible? How can that be possible? And the Lord showed me, you know, because some people are still counting on their works and what they do instead of what Jesus did for them. And I want to tell you, I want to show you a little story. We did this when I was in school, and I think it just speaks to us. So this is a story that we told. It kind of touched my heart. So there's a pastor in a village, and I can imagine just a village like this, you know. And he was tired and wanted to take a break, so he went out for a walk. And he's walking down the street, and all of a sudden he hears this quack, quack, squawk, this terrible squeaking noise. And he's like, what is that terrible noise? And he starts looking. He said he knew it sounded like something under torment. And he goes down the street and he looks, and here's a little boy carrying a cage, a bird cage. And this bird cage is full of birds. And the little boy is walking along with these birds, and he has a stick, and he's poking the birds. He's just poking them and poking them and poking them. And the birds are going, squawk, squawk! They're screaming. And the pastor can't stand it. He said, little boy, why are you poking those birds? And he said, I love to hear them scream. And he said, oh, that's terrible. He said, give me those birds. And the little boy said, no, you can't have these birds. These are my birds. He said, they're not special. It's not a cardinal that I bought in town. They're just field birds, just something I got out in the field. You can go catch your own. And the pastor said, no, I want your birds. And the boy said, let me think a minute. He said, you know, maybe I could make some money with these birds. So he said, Pastor, how much money do you have? And the pastor, you know, pulled out his wallet, he opened it, and the little boy said, that's just enough. I'll take it all. You can have the birds and the cage. And the pastor said, oh, man, he knew he'd been got. He knew he'd spent too much. That wasn't near the price to give all he had for these birds. But he couldn't stand their torment, and he wanted to take these birds. And so the boy gave him the cage, and he took the cage, and he said to the little boy, what were you going to do with those birds? And he said, that's the best part. I was going to go home, and I was going to feed them to my cat. And the pastor was like, oh, it was worth every penny that I gave for those birds. And so the pastor took that cage, and he went out to the edge of town, and he opened the door, and he watched the birds one by one fly away, singing, "Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed, butt back, butt back, butt back." But you know what? There was one little bird that stayed in that cage. One little bird that didn't want to hop out. And you know, there's so many people that get trapped in a cage of sin. They get trapped, and the devil will prod and poke and say, "You're not good enough. You'll never amount to anything. You've got to have that sin. You've got to have that sex with the neighbor lady down the road." Just poke and prod and keep people in a cage saying, "You've got to have another cigarette." You know, all these things that the devil will torment with people. And he just pokes you and keeps you in that cage. And sometimes there's somebody that's scared to leave the cage. They've been in that cage so long that they don't want to leave that cage. They want to stay right there where they feel safe. And so they never get free. You know what? That's our job. That's you and me. Our job is to help those that are caged, that are lost, that need free. They're redeemed. Jesus paid the price. He paid the penalty for our sins. But he says, "Come to me, all you're weary and heavy laden, and I will give you a rest." But some people don't know how to come. They don't know how to come to him. And they need you and me to bring them in, to get them out of the cage, to get them set free. You know, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." If we could work our way to heaven, Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross. He wouldn't have had to shed his blood. You know, but he shed his blood for all of us to be free. And it's only by his shed blood that we can ever get to heaven. It's not how good we are. It's not what we do. One of my favorite verses in this Bible is, "For grace we have been saved through faith. It's a gift from God, not by works, lest anyone should boast." We have nothing to do with it. That is awesome. I love it. That's one of those dancing verses. You know what? It's not about us. You know? It's all about him and what he did. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Romans 10, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, you will be saved." Over and over the Bible says, Jesus says, "I am the way, truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." You know, and yet, silly as we are, we sometimes stay in that religious cage thinking, "Have we done enough? Have we worked our way to heaven? Are we ever going to be good enough?" No! That is a lie of the devil. You know, Jesus made us the way he wants us. We are perfect in his eyes, and he loves us just the way we are. It's not about how good we are. I used to go through that. I was in that cage thinking, "I can never speak. I am not a speaker. I can't talk to people. I'm a great cowgirl. I've got some of the best cows in the world. It's easy. I love it. But to get up and speak, oh dear Lord Jesus, please help me." You know, I had to really work before he finally got me out of that, to be scared. But you know what? He can use anybody. And you know what? He wants to use each and every one of you. He wants you to get out and share the gospel. You talked about all these people that are coming across the border and coming. They need to know the love of Jesus. They don't need to know religion. They just need to know how much they're loved, how much they're cared for, how special they are. You know, we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It's all about the blood of Jesus and what he did for us, not what we can do. Now I ask you today, if you know without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved, that if you die today that you're going to heaven, that you know it's all about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, and you know without a doubt that you die and go to heaven today, I want you to come up to the altar right now. I want you to get out of your chairs and I want you to come forward. I want you to come and stand up here at the altar. You know, I asked the Lord after I got back from ministry school. I said, "Lord," I said, "the last day, Daniel Kalinda, who leads Christ for All Nations, a ministry that's led 86 million people to the Lord, that's documented decisions for Christ," he said, "you know, maybe we should ask the Lord if we need to do something different." And I had this dream. And in this dream, I did what I just did, and I never got to do it except in the dream. And you know what God said? We need to call the believers to the front, and then we need to commission them to go out. Who have you left behind? Who do you know that when that call comes, they're not going to be at the front? They're not going to be. They're going to be left out there. All of us know somebody that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But have you opened your mouth and have you shared the gospel? Have you told people about your Jesus? Each and every one of us is called. We're called to be a witness for Him. And sometimes we're caught in that cage and we haven't got out and we haven't shared the gospel. But we're all called and we're all qualified and we all have to share the gospel. Because you know what? That day is coming and we're going to hear the trumpet sound. It's getting closer every day. Every day. And the harvest is ripe and the fields are ready. I brought a few pieces of wheat because you know what? When this harvest is ripe, it's got to be picked. And it's going to take a whole bunch of people to bring in this harvest. Not just a few elitists out there. It's going to take just people even like you and me. Just an old cowgirl that just loves Jesus. But we're all able to tell people how much Jesus loves them. So I just challenge you. Are you ready to pick the harvest? Are you ready to go out to the harvest fields? Because you're all qualified. You're all good enough. There's not anyone here that can't share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, because it's that simple. I'll let you go back and sit down. You know, but I want you to all get your Bible out. I want you to look up John 6:47. You probably all know it, but I love to have people look it up anyway. John 6:47. Somebody read it for me.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, everlasting life.
So simple. You don't know how many people I've talked to that have been in the church their whole lives, and they said, well, you ask them, do they know they're going to the heaven when they're, do they know? Do they know? And they're all like, well, I'm not sure. I don't know for sure. Can we know that? Right there. Right there. I show them that verse and I say, right there it is. You don't need to wonder. You don't need to lose sleep at night. The Lord showed you right there. You know, if you believe and you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you know you're going. And it's great to take that verse and just to give it to people and say, you know what? You make the choice if you don't want to go. Jesus will never turn anyone away. He died for all of us. And we're all qualified. And if we believe on Him, we can know that we know that we know that we're going to heaven someday. So I tell you, mark that in your Bible and tell people. Don't lose sleep at night. The only one that can change their mind about you going to heaven is you. If you choose to reject Him and say, I'm sorry, I don't believe you anymore, then you can walk away. But who wants to do that? We have a Lord that loves us so very much. You know, I'm going to pass out these little things. Skeet knows I do this because when I was at school, I had these eternity in your hand. Just a simple way to share the gospel. Mindy, you want to open that? Give everybody one. You know, I knew how to tell people about Jesus. I couldn't stop. When you love somebody, you just talk about them, right? So I think I, you know, was a funny kid that wore dresses and cowboy boots and talked about Jesus growing up, and I didn't care, you know. Until I got to be in high school and all of a sudden I became the cheerleader and all that kind of stuff, you know. I wasn't the weird one anymore for some reason. I don't know why, but I didn't really know how to make sure that people knew that they were saved. And the Lord sent me to Evangelism Explosion, and I learned this simple way to share the gospel. And it's made it so easy for me. Because before that, I didn't know how to tell people. They knew for sure. And so I'm going to give you these, because if you've struggled with that like I used to, this is such an easy way to just share the love of Jesus with people. If you have a hand, you can do it. You know, I'm teaching this to my grandkids already. So just get your hand out. Put your thumb up. Heaven is free gift. It's not earned or deserved. Point your finger at somebody. What happens when you point your finger at somebody? You see these little three fingers? They're pointing right back at you, aren't they? Man is a sinner and he can't save himself. And when we start pointing out the sins in other people, there's always those three fingers pointing right back at us. So we're all sinners. And the biggest being in the universe, God. God is merciful and he doesn't want to punish us. But God's always just and he has to punish our sin. But he took care of that in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ is the bride of Christ. Jesus sent his son from heaven to earth to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose from the grave in 3 days. And he paid the penalty for our sin. And he's alive today. And you accept this free gift with the little finger, faith. The faith of a mustard seed. Faith isn't just head knowledge. Most, you know, the demons believe and tremble, but they don't know. That's not saving faith. And a lot of people will pray just because they're having trouble. Like me, I need rain really bad. You know, and there's people that pray when they get in trouble, but that doesn't mean they know Jesus. Saving faith is trusting Jesus Christ alone and what he did on the cross for eternal life. Now, isn't that easy? But, you know, you always have your hand. And I remember teaching a lady that she went home and taught her little twins that were just like 3 or 4 years old. And they went out and shared that at daycare, not even school, and led somebody to the Lord. You know, so simple. So I gave you that because, you know what? You're called, you're commissioned, you're ready to go to the harvest fields because they are ripe and they're ready. And I know that you're going to do a great job. One of my favorite scriptures, this evangelist, the Lord told us to start I'll just tell you that story, I guess. I don't do conventional things. I had a dream and I saw a barn blowing down in a tornado. And the Lord said, it's the start of your ministry. Well, that's really encouraging, isn't it? And so 2 weeks later, the neighbor's 100-year-old barn blew down in a tornado. And so my family, we helped salvage that barn. That was not easy. It was 115. It was August. We got up at 5 in the morning and worked till noon. We were so tired. That was a big barn, and that was a tremendous amount of work. But we salvaged that barn. Then the Lord gave me a dream, and he showed me how to build the barn from the, like, putting the post in the ground, how far to put them, and how to build this barn, how to build a stage out of this old barn. So it looked like you were starting to build a barn, and it became a stage. So we took that barn wood and we went to build this stage, and I was like, Lord, I don't understand how big this should be. I don't know anything about a stage, you know. So I was talking to this man, and he said, you know, in the 70s, we built this stage at Joyland Park, and he said, we led lots of people to the Lord there. And he said, the people that owned the park actually got saved the second day of the revival meetings. He said, I've tried to see this guy for 30 years, and I haven't been able to see him. And he said, I'd really like to see him. And one day the Lord said, go to this full gospel pastor's luncheon. And I was actually on top of this gazebo tarring shingles. You know what you look like when you're tarring shingles? And it's an hour away, and I'm like, Lord, you could have warned me a little faster, you know? So I climb down, and I run home, and I change, and I get in there, and I'm late. And this guy that told me that he'd built the stage was speaking that day. And he got done speaking, and I said, hey, Shamblin, I said, that stage you told me about, we can go see it today. He looked at me, he said, Pat, you are crazy. He said, there is no way we're going to see that stage today. And I said, yeah, we can. I said, we can go see that stage. The Lord said it, we could, let's go. He said, well, it's on my way home, so I'll humor you and we'll go. I said, okay. So we go driving up there, and we drive to this Joyland Park, and we drive up there, and the gates open. And pretty soon this guy comes driving up as we're getting out of our cars, and it's the guy he's wanted to see for 30 years. And they're sitting there having this grand reunion, and they're talking, and he said, well, come on in. He said, I got permission. This is in bankruptcy. He said, I had one day that they let me go in here and see what I still have here. So we walked in and we looked and we saw the stage and we looked around at everything, and they painted a vision for what revival like that looks like, because they were talking about everything that happened, and it was like, wow, you know, I didn't realize all the pieces of it, you know, the intercessors and the counselors and all the people that it would take part of this, the musicians. So we were talking, and then I brought a tape measure. I went out and I measured the stage. When we built that, when we tore down that barn, excuse me, not built it, tore it down, my husband was so tired of it. He said, okay, this last wall, we're not tearing apart. We loaded it on the flatbed trailer, we took it home, and he laid it up against the hay bales out in the pasture, and he goes, it'll probably rot right there. I'm not touching that wall again. Leave it right there. So I got home, and I went out, took my tape measure, and I measured that wall. Exactly the same. Exactly. That was the back of our stage. That wall became the back of our stage, and then we put a door in the center of it. And then God called people to come out. He called me to do a roundup. And my dad had years had prayed that people would come out there and they would be rounded up for Jesus like that we rounded up cattle. And we did that for years. And then God transitioned me to do Christmas extravaganza, a walk through the life of Jesus in our barns. Mindy got to come play an angel several times. But the Lord really put it on my heart, it's time to go back and have a crusade. And September the 17th, we're going to have a crusade out on the farm. We're going to, I rented a booth at the state fair, and we're going to witness, just have people, anybody that wants to come witness, we're going to have a place there to have drinks and have stuff to hand out to people. And then we're going to finish it with a crusade in the middle of the ranch. So I wish you'd pray for me. September 17th is going to be a crusade in the very center of Kansas. So you know what? We don't have to do great big things or be important. Just do what God says. We can all do just what He says. It's just the simple things. You know, if we can just touch one, that we've done what He wants. So I just challenge you to be the one to touch many people. This, the first evangelist God called out there, couldn't believe he came, but he did. Everybody God said, come, come. And he called famous people. It's crazy. But there's something he said in this book that I love of his. And I just believe this is so important. It says, start seeing righteousness. The Bible says that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Start seeing the reality and say to the devil, I'm a new man. I'm not an old man. I'm redeemed by the grace of God. I am cleansed by the blood. If we keep looking at the positive things in the mirror, the image starts becoming who we are. But we've got to keep looking at it until we can conform to what the Word of God says about us. You've got to keep looking in the mirror until you see what God sees. You've got to see yourself through the blood just like God sees you. Then, when you see yourself in that way, you will have faith of such magnitude that nothing you believe will be impossible. When the mirror of the Word of God becomes your total focus of life, you will start walking in the power of righteousness like you've never known before. Praise God. That's for all of us. That's for each and every one of us. So I'd like to pray for you. Father God, I just thank you for everyone here. I thank you for the divine appointments you have with them. I thank you that even today, some of them might walk out of this church and they might run across somebody that needs to know your love. Lord, we thank you that you love us so incredibly much. We can't even hardly understand how could you love us so much. That you would die on the cross and that we were the joy set before you. That you did it willingly when you could have called down 10,000 angels, but you still took all the pain and the suffering and shed your blood for each and every one of us. Lord, we are so thankful. We love you so much, Lord. Help us to tell others how much you love us. Help us to be a witness to others. And Lord, I just thank you for each and every person here, that they're a harvester. They're going to go in the harvest fields and there's going to be an explosion of an evangelism. You're going to touch their hearts and you're going to mark them. And Lord, they will share the gospel and they will bring people to know you as Lord and Savior. I thank you for what you're going to do in this church and the lives here. And Lord, I thank you that you are the healer. I thank you if anybody needs healing in this church today, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will come and supernaturally touch them and bring healing and restoration to them. We thank you, Lord, that nothing's too hard for you. I thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful miracles I've got to see. And Lord, I ask that these people see miracles like that too. Bless this church, bless Skeet and everything he puts his hand to, Lord. And we thank you and give you praise in Jesus' precious and most holy, holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Nice to be here.
Well, we did have snacks and fellowship and coffee back here. So you can come on back and visit a little bit, meet somebody new, and have a fresh